How are we, folks? You're very welcome to A History of Change, the podcast. In this episode, we are going to be looking at the course and consequences of the 1798 Rebellion in Ireland. So, the signal to begin the 1798 Rebellion occurred when the mail coaches in Dublin were stopped. Now, because of informants and British spies, many of the leaders in the United Irishmen had either been arrested or forced into hiding, and it meant that the rebellion would begin in a very disorganised manner. Dublin was also put under strict martial law, which kind of meant that you weren't really allowed outside at 5 p.m. maybe. There was a strict curfew, and it meant that the uprisings that were scheduled to take place in Dublin did not happen. In May of 1798, the rebellion began in Leinster, in particular in Kildare and Tara, County Meath. Now, superior British forces meant that the United Irishmen suffered defeat in these battles. Some of the fiercest fighting took place in County Wexford, and this is where some of the rebels had victories in places like Oulart Hill, Enniscorthy and Wexford Town. Here they were led by Father John Murphy and Baganel Harvey. Now, following victory for the rebels in these regions, they actually established what was known as the Wexford Republic. The rebels then camped in Vinegar Hill, which was a strategic area of highland, which gave them a great viewpoint of the surrounding countryside. Now, unfortunately, the lack of training and experience of the rebels meant that they made no efforts to build defensive features and fortifications around Vinegar Hill, and it left them very vulnerable to British attack. On the 21st of June 1798, about 20,000 British soldiers surrounded and attacked the rebels camped here following an artillery bombardment. The rebels were defeated, and many of the leaders, including Baganel Harvey, were executed as a result. If we got up to Ulster then, the news of the outbreak of the rebellion in Leinster prompted the United Irishmen in Ulster to start their own rebellion. On the 7th of June, Irish rebels led by Henry Joy McCracken unsuccessfully attacked British forces in County Antrim and were defeated. Just 6 days later, Henry Munro led a rebel attack against British troops in Ballinahinch, County Down. The rebels were defeated and both McCracken and Munro would be executed that July. This signalled the collapse of the rebellion in Ulster. In Connacht, rebels had the help of French troops. On the 23rd of August, French troops led by General John Humbert landed in Killala Bay, County Mayo. They joined up with a group of United Irishmen rebels, and they had a combined force of about 2,000 men. By this stage, the rebellion in Leinster and Ulster had been defeated, so the rebellion in Connacht was kind of the last hope. On the 27th of March, the French and Irish rebels drove a large force of 6,000 British soldiers out of Castlebar in County Mayo. This became known as the Races of Castlebar because the British forces escaped on horseback. From here, they established what was called the Republic of Connacht. The French and Irish force then marched towards Ballinamuck in County Longford, where they were defeated by British troops here on the 8th of September. The captured French soldiers were repatriated or sent back to France in exchange for the release of British prisoners of war. Meanwhile, many of the Irish rebels were simply massacred by British soldiers. So the British wanted, I suppose, to make an example of any Irish rebels to prevent future uprisings. Now, the final days of the rebellion occurred when Wolfe Tone landed in Donegal on the 12th of October with another force of about 3,000 French soldiers. They attempted to land in a place called Lough Swilly, County Donegal, but they were unable to land because of a British naval force stationed there. There was a 3-hour sea battle between both sides in which the British were eventually victorious and prevented the French from landing. Wolfe Tone would be captured and sentenced to death by hanging. However, before he could be executed, Tone committed suicide in prison on the 19th of November. So Tone wanted a soldier's execution. That meant he wanted to be shot by firing squad, and the British refused to give him this. So Wolfe Tone would take his own life instead. And this officially marked the end of the 1798 Rebellion. So the 1798 Rebellion would have profound consequences on Ireland and Irish politics. The first major consequence is death, destruction and imprisonment. So while this rebellion only lasted a number of months, it resulted in huge bloodshed. It is estimated between 20 and 40,000 people were killed. Many towns, particularly those in the southeast around Wexford, were badly damaged, particularly churches. Many Catholic and Protestant churches were completely destroyed due to sectarian attacks. A lot of Irish rebels who managed to escape execution were also imprisoned in the British penal colonies in Australia. They would never return. The second, probably one of the most major consequences of the 1790 rebellion was the Act of Union. So, Britain wanted to suppress further uprisings and tighten their grip over Ireland. And this was done through the passing of the Act of Union in 1800, which came into effect on the 1st of January 1801. The Act of Union disbanded the Parliament in Dublin and created the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland. This meant that Irish politicians would now have to go and sit in Westminster in London. And what happened here is Ireland became very neglected because there was no real political representation in Ireland anymore, and many issues over land ownership, religious division and politics worsened as a result. A third consequence of the 1798 rebellion was the growth of sectarian divisions. Okay, so this is the divisions between Catholics and Protestants in Ireland. So atrocities carried out by both sides deepened these divisions between both denominations. So British forces carried out reprisals such as pitch capping and half hanging against Irish rebels and civilians, while prisoners on both sides were often massacred. Catholic atrocities also occurred, including the Scuttabog Barn massacre, when about 200 Protestants were murdered by Irish rebels. A fourth major consequence of the 1798 rebellion was it inspired and led to the growth of the physical force tradition. So while the 1798 rebellion ultimately failed to achieve its goals, it did inspire future rebellions in Ireland. Some of these include Robert Emmet's 1803 rebellion in Dublin, the Fenian Rising of 1867, and the 1916 Rising. The final impact or consequence of the 1798 rebellion was the growth of the parliamentary tradition. Okay, so the parliamentary tradition is basically when a politician will attempt to use peaceful parliamentary means to achieve change, such as getting bills and laws passed through Parliament. So many politicians, most significantly Daniel O'Connell, were appalled by what they had seen during the 1798 rebellion. Okay. And he believed that peaceful methods to pursue political goals were the best way. So O'Connell specifically referred to the bloodshed he witnessed of the 1798 rebellion when he stated, "May every virtuous revolutionist remember the horrors of Wexford." O'Connell was quite a successful politician in his own right. Using the parliamentary tradition, O'Connell's peaceful campaigning would lead to the repeal of the penal laws in 1829 when he achieved Catholic emancipation, allowing Catholics to take their seats in Parliament if elected.